This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome aboard. We're live in downtown Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino was a spot. Busy hour coming up in 30 minutes. Jeff Sherman on the program over at the Westgate Superbook. They released their annual props for the Super Bowl late last night. It's a big to-do. A lot of sharp bettors go over there. They get 2,000 a pop. I'll ask them about that whole process. And right now, we kick off the hour with Fantasy Football Hall of Famer, longtime friend of the show, Paul Charchi, and he's in town, comes in studio today. Good to see you, my man. How are you?
I'm doing great. In town for a very small band playing a concert in town called Midwife. I think there's going to be 400 of us at the concert. It'll be small, but it's a great excuse to come into town, see you guys as well.
Actually, I know the venue, 400 people can actually fit in there.
Well, maybe not. I'm estimating. I've never been in the Griffin.
Yeah, okay.
At the end of Fremont Street, yep. But I'm guessing 400.
Don't maybe we not. All like smaller venues for concerts way That's more than best. Anything? It's amazing.
Yeah, like First Ave in Minneapolis.
Even smaller in this case. Yeah. First Ave is 1500, and it's huge. Hugely popular. You know, the arena shows, I think, are terrible. And it's because...
I concur.
You know, they're not built for sound. They're built for sporting events or whatever, mm-hmm. right? So your sound quality is bad. You're so far removed from the band. You can't see what's happening with the guitarist, the fingering of the guitarist, you know? You don't feel connected to the music. And then the other part is there's something about confined sound, right? Just small room, confined sound where you can just get immersed in the sound in a way that an arena just can't duplicate.
Right, your whole body feels it.
Yeah.
The entire time that you're there.
Yes.
For those who have been coming to Las Vegas for a long time, like the old joint at the Hard Rock and the bands that they would get any band that you could think of. And oh my God, the shows there were the best.
What did it hold before they remodeled it?
Like 2000? I saw
Guns N' Roses there.
No way.
In a suite.
Oh,
which you can't get.
Now, like, that's as good as it gets right
like 2000
there.
2,000 people, 1,500 people. Yeah. Axl Rose. You and Axl Rose.
I mean, to me, that's like the perfect scenario is when there's a big, big band that has decided they're going to play a smaller venue for whatever reason, and that's your chance to see them. In the Twin Cities right now, you mentioned First Avenue. They're doing a benefit concert at First Avenue for the anti-ICE movement.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Springsteen is rumored to be appearing at it.
Wow.
And that would be an opportunity to see Bruce Springsteen in a venue that holds 1,500.
Wow. So that brings me back to my biggest regret in life in terms of not going to see a show.
Yeah.
Prince had a residency at the Rio. The Rio.
Wow.
What does that place hold? 2,000 maybe?
Oh,
and he played it for weekends for like, I never went.
Yep.
Same.
I'll never get over it.
I grew up in Minneapolis. Prince played all the time. And he would do a lot of drop shows where he would be, okay, First Avenue. You got anything going tonight? No, we're available. Okay, I'll be there in 5 hours. And, you know, tickets will go on sale. And, you know, if you happen to be there, I only saw him one time in the 30 years we were, you know, in the same city, and he was a popular musician. That was a huge mistake. That was a blunder. Yeah.
Okay, great job out of you last week, specifically. We'll get into the Seahawks more as a team coming up in about 10 minutes. But some of your breakdowns and your analysis, like the running backs against the Seahawks and how they have done it all year long. And Corum, he was higher than 17-1 at one sports book for 3 catches, and he got it done.
Oh, man, that's fantastic. Well, we're going to hit that same angle here in just you know, in fact, you want to go right there right now?
We can set it up here.
Okay.
And, if that's what you'd like to do. Because Paul was on this too right away to begin the week, and I tailed him. And
so because of your breakdown, which was so good, and also I was... I think this is a question the O-line, a lot of pressure on the quarterbacks, hello dump-offs, a lot of dump-offs in this game. But your breakdown was so good last week, and those big tickets, there was a plus 950 that cashed on Corum as well. I think it was the yards. But let's start with Henderson. Take it away.
Travion Henderson. So we're going to talk about both of the Patriots running backs through the air. This is, I think, the strongest play that we're going to see based on past trends. And you can decide whether or not. You mentioned we highlighted the Rams runners against the Seahawks last week. Seahawks are great defense, except for this one Achilles heel that we've been hitting all playoffs long, and it keeps working. So we're going to keep doing it. They were the worst defense in the league against running back receptions. They allowed the most in the league at 6 per game during the regular season. And then through the playoffs, that trend has continued as well. two games ago in the playoffs, Christian McCaffrey was at five receptions before he got knocked out of the game at roughly halftime. He was on his way to a big game. Last week, Kyren Williams, Blake Corum, five touchdowns. Ramondre Stevenson, we're going to talk about in a minute, is potentially sitting on a really big game. But the best trend that I think you're going to find out of the entire weekend is actually Travion Henderson. Over one half reception, so we need one to cash a ticket. I would consider laddering that up to two or three catches.
Three catches is 6-1 at Caesars.
6-1. Perfect. That's fantastic odds here. So let's talk it through just for a minute. Seattle gives up so many running back receptions that number two runners almost always get paid. We hit on this number last week. We're going to do it again here. This stat. We've done a lot of segments, guys. I don't think we've ever talked about anything happening 18 out of 19 times.
Mm-hmm.
Here it comes. 18 of 19 Seattle opponents have had a second running back get at least one catch. 18 of 19. And that's why we're focusing on Travion Henderson. Blake Corum got it done last week. This is a fantastic opportunity for Travion Henderson over receptions.
Beautiful.
Very good. And by the way, his number of yards is so low that you can ladder beginning that plus money at 5 yards.
Jeez.
It was plus 114, I think, when I got it.
Mm-hmm. You know, Henderson has got game-breaking ability and speed. There's a real scenario where he turns a dump-off pass into one broken tackle
and
28 yards. I mean, that's
right.
You know, that's absolutely
that?
Possible.
I think it was 50. I'll go check right now. I think it was 50-plus yards was 35-1.
Wow. Who has that?
FanDuel.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Not bad.
All right.
Not bad.
Can we hit on Ramondre for a moment?
Yeah, of course.
Right. Time? Okay. So let's talk about Ramondre from a receiving standpoint. I want to hit him a couple of different ways. I think he's sitting on 3, 4, maybe 5 catches. Race to 2 receptions. So first player to 2 receptions for Ramondre Stevenson at DraftKings is plus 990. Plus 990. As I mentioned, Seattle allows the most running back receptions during the regular season. They're on the same pace in the playoffs. New England uses this rotation with Henderson. Stevenson, though, is the veteran here. First drive. It's distinctly possible on the first drive, Stevenson's got 2 receptions. I mean, that is absolutely in the realm of possibility. But what if the Patriots don't start with the ball? Seattle does. We'll have to sweat Jackson Smith and Jigba. But really, nobody else on Seattle is likely to get 2 receptions on the first drive. So even if it takes a couple of drives, there's a scenario here where Ramondre ends up sitting at 2 receptions faster than anybody else in this game at plus 990. That's pretty good value. Stevenson averages 19 routes per game since midseason, 20 routes per game in the playoffs. He's running enough routes where he could easily be the first player to 2 receptions, plus 990.
Okay, so we're going to attack them both this week again, like Kyren Williams and Blake Corum last week.
I think so, too. Can I drill down on Ramondre? Do we still have time?
Yeah, we've got plenty
of
time.
Okay, let's keep going. Here we go. Longest reception for Ramondre Stevenson is 11 and a half yards. We're going to take the over on the longest reception for Ramondre. Mitch, Pauly, the running back with the NFL's running back with the longest average distance of target is Ramondre Stevenson. So phrased another way, the Patriots throw farther downfield to Ramondre Stevenson than any team does to any running back.
Beautiful.
They throw downfield to Ramondre Stevenson. So we're talking about 11 and a half yards for Ramondre. So I decided to look up what happens when the Patriots throw 12 air yards or more to Ramondre Stevenson. He's number one in the league in targets of 12 or more yards. He's number one in the league on receptions of passes of 12 air yards. And he's number one in yards gained on passes over 12 air yards. And regardless of the distance of the throw, Stevenson had 10 receptions of 12 or more yards this year. And that's, he missed a month of the season. And he still had 10 receptions of 12 or more yards. In theory, against the team that allows the most running back receptions, he's going to have a lot of opportunities to get to that over longest reception of 11 and a half yards. Last thing I'll mention, just because I love looking up the stats. Among 56 NFL runners with at least 100 routes, Stevenson fifth in separation rate among running backs.
Damn.
Now you really want to get nuts here.
I really want to get nuts.
Give us a 45-1 shot.
Here is your Ramondre Stevenson. If all of this Ramondre Stevenson talk is starting to resonate with you, think about this spicy variant. And by spicy variant, at 45-1, I really mean probable loser. But nevertheless, we'll call it spicy variant because that's a lot more fun. Okay. Ramondre Stevenson to lead both teams in receiving yards. 45-1. So let's talk it through for just a second. Obviously, Jackson Smith and Jigba is the obvious favorite, and he will probably end up cashing this ticket. But who else would be likely? Well, for Seattle, is it going to be Cooper Kupp, A.J. Barner? Very unlikely. For New England, even Stephon Diggs is only 5 catches a game. He's not. It's yeah. Diggs. I mean, they don't really have a go-to anybody.
Right.
You know, maybe Hunter Henry gets in there. I mean, Ramondre is in the conversation here. We've already established Ramondre catches deeper passes. What if he catches a deeper pass, breaks one tackle, Ramondre Stevenson? Now we're looking at an opportunity for him to lead both teams in receiving yards. Get this. Has Ramondre done it this year? Yes, he has. He has led the Patriots in receiving yards. Two different times this year, as recently as three games ago, the wild card round, Ramondre Stevenson led the Patriots in receiving yards. He's finished first or second on his team in receiving yards 5 different times. So maybe the Patriots play lockdown on Jackson Smith and Jigba and just say, look, we're going to take away Jackson Smith and Jigba at all costs, go beat us with Cooper Kupp, whatever. That opens the door for Ramondre to hit 45-1. He's already had an 88-yard receiving game this year and a 75-yard receiving game this year. 88 yards and 75 yards can cash this ticket. It's a lot of value at 45-1.
Confirmed.
What do you think?
Yeah, let's get nuts.
Why not?
Absolutely.
Why not? Spicy variant.
Some numbers with the spicy variant on top of it. You have a couple of props that you like on the Seattle side, and look, tip of the cap, my man. We asked you months ago who's going to win the Super Bowl. You flat out said Seattle. We got to get your thoughts on what you think of the big game now coming up next weekend.
You bet.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on
VSiN. We continue here with Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchi, and he's in studio in town for a concert tonight.
Yeah.
Very small venue. That's cool. I'm jealous of that. Great breakdown first segment on Henderson and Stevenson with the receptions.
He's 7-1, 3+ catches at DK, thanks to Luke.
Okay. Oh,
fantastic.
Very good.
Yep.
Even better.
Yep.
And I see right now Henderson 10-1, 30+ yards.
That's a great opportunity. I mean, Henderson's going to, as we mentioned last segment in detail, he's going to catch at least one pass, maybe two. And again, his whole bit is explosive play.
Absolutely.
So you just you really just need the one catch, and you've got a 25% chance he's going to turn a 0-yard catch into a 30-yard game. Yep. I mean, he's an explosive player.
It's the same bit on the other side with Rashid Shaheed.
Yes.
Like, explosives are coming, I think, from some angle with this guy, right?
Oh, for sure. Now, I love Shaheed. What a great trade. What a great trade by John Schneider and Trent Kirchner in the front office of the Seahawks. But I've got a betting angle on Shaheed, if I can throw it around for you.
Of course.
And it's an oddball one. It's Rashid Shaheed over 3.5 rushing yards. So get this. And in some ways, this bet's just this simple. I'm just going to give you, I'm going to drown you in stats in a minute, but just these two. Patriots allowed the most wide receiver rushing yards out of any team last year in the regular season. The most wide receiver rushing yards, that was the Patriots. And since his trade to Seattle, Rashid Shaheed leads all wide receivers in rushing yards. So, I mean, you could just stop there, but you guys know me. New England allowed 8 wide receiver rushing yards per game. 8, we're trying to get to 3.5 rushing yards for Rashid Shaheed. The Patriots allowed the second most yards per carry by wide receivers, 9 yards per carry. So, really, we just need him to get the one carry. He's very likely to turn it into well over 3.5 rushing yards. So will Shaheed get one carry? Patriots allowed the 6th most wide receiver rushing attempts at 1 per game, and Rashid was 3rd in rushing attempts across the entire league. Rashid's gotten at least one carry in 8 of the last 11 Seahawks games, basically the 11 he's played since the trade deadline. And he had two carries 2 weeks ago against San Francisco. Last thing I'll mention, if he gets the one carry, one of the other reasons you can feel good about this is the Seahawks had the fifth worst wide receiver stuff rate. So they don't tackle wide receivers when they get the opportunity. So there you go.
That actually exists.
That actually exists. Yes, I found that stat. So wide receiver run stuff rate, Patriots.
You've been all over this as well. Since Williams has been in there, this New England run defense is nasty. So how about Walker under 75.5?
Basically, so we've talked about this for 4 weeks running now. Yep. We're going to do it again here, and I'm going to keep repeating myself because we keep cashing tickets on it. Milton Williams is a freaking stud on the defensive line of the Patriots, and their entire run defense has been unbelievably good in games that he has played, 14 games that he's played in. They have been fantastic, averaging 2.9 yards per carry. When we take Kenneth Walker under 75.5 yards, shop it a little bit. I've seen a five-yard variance here. To take the over on Walker, you'd have to be saying he's going to have the best game of any running back all year against the Patriots. And he could. He's going to get a lot of carries. He's going to get the overwhelming majority of the workload, and he's really good. But let's talk about the Milton Williams numbers. I mentioned 2.9 yards per carry for the run defense of the Patriots in games with Milton Williams. That's the NFL's best number. And the next best team, that's 3.5 yards per carry. I mean, they're almost, they're over half a yard better than the next best team. In the playoffs against New England, here's what we've seen so far from opposing running backs. Last week, R.J. Harvey, 37 yards, 2.8 yards per carry. Week before that, Woody Marks, 17 carries, 1.2 yards per carry. And the wild card round, Kamani Vidal, 31 yards, 2.8 yards per carry. Starting running backs are averaging just 34 yards per game against the Patriots when Milton Williams plays. Our line is double that, more than double that, at 75.5 yards. No back is top 49 yards against New England with Milton Williams in the game, 49. So he's got to be 27 yards better than Bijan Robinson, James Cook, Quinshon Judkins, Devon Achane, Ashton Jeanty, or any other running back that has seen Milton Williams and the Patriots run defense. We're going to stay with the under.
Yeah, I think that's a great bet to fade him. So we brought you on. I don't remember the exact date. It was a while ago.
Middle of the season?
Thanks. Well, we were on every week, but I think what you're referring to is right around Thanksgiving, mid-November. Okay. In mid-November.
Yeah. I asked you flat out, at this stage of the game, who's going to win the Super Bowl? And you said, you think it's going to be Seattle?
Yeah.
And at the time, 15-1-ish.
Yes.
How do you feel about this matchup against the Patriots?
Seattle is a team without a material weakness. I mentioned these running back receptions they give up, but Seattle's a team without a real weakness, right? If you were to say, almost every other team in the league, you can find spots where you can just say, well, we can go win the game by exploiting this weakness. Mm-hmm. Seattle just doesn't have that. So, they can run the ball well enough. They can pass the ball, very well. I mean, what Sam Darnold just did was fantastic. And the defense is great, right? They get tons of pressure. They've got the cornerbacks that are good, the safeties that are good. It's just, I don't see a scenario, and this is the same thing I said when you asked me this in November. I don't see a scenario where they've got some critical fault that the other team goes and exploits and generates a loss with. It's just, Sam Darnold was thought to be the critical area, right? Everybody thought Sam Darnold was going to be the critical area of failure.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't look that way. He's your MVP odds on favorite.
Right? Mm-hmm. Why were you so strong on JSN and also Kubiak in the summer? Mitch was out. Your favorite prop was JSN over 950 yards. Hello.
Yeah, at the time we said the only way JSN's not going to hit over 950 yards was injury.
Mm-hmm.
So it was basically an injury bet. Will he play 14 games because he was going to hit that number so easily? And you just felt like the upgrade from Geno Smith to Sam Darnold was going to be so great that it was putting JSN potentially on a launching pad for greatness. And sure enough, I wish I had. I did place a bet right behind us at that time. Came off the air with you. Went down there.
Yep.
Got a ticket. I wish I'd bet a lot more. But JSN, obviously, with a great season, ended up leading the league in receiving yards.
So I think there's a path here for Seattle to really, really take it to them.
I do.
And win by 10, okay. 14, 17, whatever.
Now, not like last year. Last year at this time,
right.
You had me on and I said, Eagles, bet them as high as you can possibly go. Tilt this thing at 16 points. I don't feel that level of confidence. But I do believe that there's a scenario here where Seattle really handles the Patriots, and I could see this thing being, you know, 10 double digit point differential.
Yeah. How are Viking fans doing? As I said Monday,
well.
I know we should have seen this coming. Growing up a Vikings fan, you get rid of Darnold after you win 14 games. Of course, he's going to win the Super Bowl at his next destination.
Of course. Of course he was going to, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we are all Viking fans like myself, just baffled that you let Sam Darnold out the door after 4,300 yards, 35 touchdowns. And, you know, you still had J.J. McCarthy, who had no leverage. J.J. was going to be with your team no matter what. Now, what you had to tell Sam was you can start. And Sam may not have been willing, you know, they were not willing to tell Sam Darnold, you're going to be our starter. They wanted to give J.J. McCarthy the opportunity to win the job, which you can understand because of the draft equity. But at some point, didn't Sam Darnold do enough in the season that you had with him? Now, Sam Darnold faltered badly down the stretch in those final two games for Minnesota last year. In week 18, they needed a win from Sam Darnold to get the number one seed, and he got sacked like, you know, four times that game. It's tons of pressures. And then in the first round of the playoffs, the Rams sacked him 9 times. But the other side of that is, and I think we alluded to this last week, in those two games at the end of the Vikings season that ended the Vikings season with Sam Darnold last year, he was pressured 78 times in two games. 78 in two games. Nobody would have succeeded in that scenario.
No, that's almost impossible.
And almost impossible, right? You know, that's between pressures, hurries, and hits and sacks, right? So it seems obvious now in retrospect. Most Viking fans wanted J.J. McCarthy, but obviously Sam Darnold's the right answer.
So you have no doubt about him going into this game?
I really don't.
You're
Sam's played great.
Like sky high, as confident as possible.
9 out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, because he doesn't have to win the game himself.
Right.
You know, if this was a different scenario, if the defense wasn't great, if Kenneth Walker wasn't a really good running back, you know, that would be a different story. But because Sam doesn't have to carry the burden himself, I think he's proven over and over again that he's capable of this.
Phenomenal breakdown. Great job all year. More props next week as well. And more on the game. Excellent. It sucks that football is going to be over. Anything you recommend on TV?
I'm catching up on The Chair Company, the Tim Robinson dark comedy.
Yeah, it looks interesting.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Is it?
Yeah, it's really, really good.
How many episodes?
9,
okay,
I believe.
Okay, HBO.
Yeah.
Chair Company.
Yeah. The Chair Company. He's a middle manager at an anonymous company that gets a promotion, and he's super excited at his party, and his chair collapses. And that he's going to sit on.
Okay.
And so his big moment is ruined. And because it's ruined, that's the alarm on my phone to tell me to do your show. because his chair gets collapsed, he goes on to this vendetta against the chair company. And it's great.
Okay. Very good.
All right.
Follow him on X. He's at Paul Charchian. As good as it gets. Thank you. Enjoy the concert tonight.
Yeah, thanks. It's going to be great.
Up next, we're going to go across town, connect with Jeff Sherman over at the Westgate Superbook. We'll get into popular bets from Sharps last night and ask how they go about making their numbers for the big game coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Welcome back. We're live in Vegas, downtown at Circa. Head across town now to the Westgate Superbook as Jeff Sherman joins the program now. He is VP of Risk Management over there, and he is on the Progressive Guest Line. Last night was the dropping of all of their annual props for the Super Bowl. They bumped it up a night. Hey, Jeff, good afternoon. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on, guys.
How do you got for like a lot of the same props that are going to be posted every single year? How do you open up numbers? Is it just based on where they closed last year? Is it something that's pretty close to where it is over the years and past? Like, how does that happen? I'm sure you guys have like 300 props or whatever the number is ready to go at any time.
Yeah, we obviously have reference points, and we refer back to everything that we've done over these years, and Ed saves all these opening numbers, closing numbers, and we really reference sides and totals. And if we can find something we can correlate it to, it helps speed up the process because we have so many derivative markets that if we find something that was close to a 4.5 and a 45.5, then we really line it up that way, and it helps speed it up.
How have you guys adjusted prices over time? For example, the length of the shortest touchdown of the game is always 1.5, but this year juice minus 140, and that's been a popular like winning ticket over the years, 5 out of the last 6, 8 out of the last 10, and a really popular one as well, because it happens more times than the public would think, is will a team score 3 straight times, which cashes quite a bit. So how do you adjust those numbers?
Well, we start by looking at what the totals are on the game, because some of the pricing is based on the total. You know, if you have a very high total and expect more touchdown opportunities, shortest touchdown more likely to come in play, you're going to have even a stronger price on the under. So we relate it to the total and then the experience of it, where we have seen a lot more under support on that prop in recent years. So we thought we were opening it strong at minus 140 based on this total, but we did take sharp play last night under minus 140. Now we're under minus 160.
Okay, very good. Can you share with our audience some other bets that took some sharp play and that were hit?
Yeah, I mean, we got, you know, when we open these that first night, you know, the public likes to bet a lot of favorites and overs and things, positive things to mm-hmm. happen. And the sharp players are betting unders and nos. So we've seen a lot of that last night. One of them that moved quite a bit, Mac Hollins, under his receiving yards, open 29.5. Under that, under 27.5, we're currently 25.5. Correlating that, his receptions under 2.5, minus 110, minus 130. Now we're minus 150. So you see it there. And another one, a seldom used player, Jake Bobo, under 0.5 receiving yards, minus 140 bet to under minus 160. So that's the type of bets we tend to see on opening night.
So that's the exact kind of guy I wanted to ask you about, a Bobo type. What about somebody like a backup running back now, second stringer, because there's no Zach Charbonnet? How did they approach it with Helani with the Seahawks?
We got a little bit of over on him, but nothing too much. But we have to factor that in, obviously, with the lack of players from previous games. So we saw some over support for him. You would expect to see some under, but on him, he got some over support last night.
Did you add anything new? I felt block punt is new, or am I wrong?
That is new. Okay. Block punt 11-1.
Thank you.
You know, one of the more popular ones that we've had over the years has been both teams making 33-plus yard field goals. That's really become a staple. And so we did a derivative of that this year and did both teams making 40-plus yard field goals. And so, you know, we've seen these longer field goals made all the time now. We expanded it out, and instead of laying $1.20 with 33-plus, now you get plus 210 with 40-plus. So, you know, each year we try to expand on things like that have been popular.
Very good.
Did I see this also maybe as the first time ever? I believe that you guys have Will Drake May, and it may be up there for Sam Darnold as well. Will they complete their first 2 passes of the game?
Yeah, that's a new one too. Okay. We've always done first pass completion, and now we did first 2 pass completions. So, you know, like I mentioned, the easiest thing to do is take what we've done and just expand on that and keep expanding. You know, we started doing that with the quarterbacks, when you put up over under 1.5 touchdown passes, well, we've gone to over under 1, 1.5, 2, 2.5. So it's really a lot of variations, because when you get up to 500 props, you know, and we're doing less cross board props now because we don't see as much interest on those.
I love those.
The creativity comes in expanding these and having different pricing models up for them.
So you and the guys, the crew behind the counter, think that's going to be a low scoring game.
Yeah, I mean, we opened 46.5, it's down to 45.5 on sharp play, and we made the props based on that. And if it is a low-scoring game, we tend to do better on the props on a low-scoring, boring game. So that is what we're hoping for from a booking standpoint.
Do you guys pay attention to what other books are posting beginning on, like, Sunday night after the 2 title games are over with and then into Monday morning and Tuesday before you guys come out with your numbers on Wednesday night? Or do you want to just set them all on your own? You probably can't do that, because then you might be way off from somebody else. And then obviously those prices are going to get taken immediately.
Oh, we obviously pay attention to it. We make our own numbers, and we'll have different numbers that are hung out there. But as we're going through these, we can see some early numbers out there. And if we had something that might've been a 30-yard discrepancy, we can go ahead and hang a 10 or 15-yard discrepancy and still get a bet we're looking for without having to just go blind and go so far out there. You know, one of the things I've tried to tell the guys, if we want to be 10 yards different, we can take two wagers at the 10 yards different rather than going 30 yards down to 20, down to 10. So it's just better for the book if we pay attention to what's out there.
Sure. Was there an example of that this year?
It was just up and down the board. You know, just passing yards by the quarterbacks. You know, we're maybe 10, 15 yards different than some of the places out there. And I know we were a little bit higher on each one, so we didn't need to go as high as we originally made the line, and we relaxed that back, and we still got what we were looking for.
So you're also a week away from the NBA trade deadline, and you have a superstar that's being shopped. How are you monitoring the Giannis news and the odds, and how are you going to play with that, and what next Thursday could look like for you?
Yeah, it's so much fun after what we saw with Luka last trade deadline. But, you know, there's obviously some places talked about desired landing spots for him. And the only thing I did at this point was I chopped them each down a little bit. So over the course of the next week, I'll use a little bit of a higher hold percentage on my futures than I do all season. And then I can raise him back if he doesn't get traded or doesn't get traded to that team. But I'm just trying to be a little bit proactive with some possible landing spots for him.
Which team or teams do you think, based on like reading the tea leaves, reading some stuff about this, would you find the most realistic for him if he's in fact dealt by next Thursday?
It sounds like to me Golden State or Miami. You know, the New York would have to do a lot of maneuvering, even though he wants to go there, just because they're limited versus what other teams can offer. And you'd have to think Golden State with their the draft pick assets and trying to maximize what they can out of Curry, they're going to try to be as aggressive as they can, especially after losing Butler. And, he, you know, he's the contract that can match salaries, so he'd have to be included. But I would expect those two at the top. I don't, as much as I would have liked early in the year to see San Antonio, I think it's in their best interest not to be involved with it because I like the direction and the young, cheaper contracts that they have going for them for the foreseeable future. But, you know, a team like Houston could get involved if they wanted. I don't think they will. I really think it's New York, Miami, and Golden State. They're going to make the strongest push for them.
Yeah. By the way, I'm glad you brought up the Spurs. I know that you have futures on them from months ago. I have one after they were throttling Oklahoma City last month. I think it was 2 days before Christmas at 18-1 to win the West. Watching that last night, I'm just thinking, Jeff, Wemby played 29 minutes. That's it. And that fourth quarter was insane what he did. Five blocks overall. What is that team going to look like in the playoffs?
Well, the only thing that worries me is just their inexperience at this point.
Sure.
But I know they're going to keep growing over the second half of the season. And, you know, I might be a year premature on them. But the one thing I know is you got to play these things when you see it in front of you because next year they're going to be less than double digits. And you're not going to be able to cash in on that opportunity if things play out. So I did get involved with that. I think them, and it's the same reason I bet Charlotte over their season wins this year. I thought the second half of the season, this young team can grow, and they're starting to do that too. And I'm not saying title or conference odds, but just that type of growth you can see from young teams like San Antonio and Charlotte. And hopefully that inexperience, they can get through that in the regular season. And then you might just have to see some things play out or through injuries. Obviously, there's a lot of calf injuries going through the league this year. It might affect some teams in their path, so that could help them out.
Great stuff. You can follow Jeff on X. He is at Golf Odds, VP Risk Management over at the Westgate Superbook. Thanks, Jeff. Have a good weekend.
All right. Thanks, guys.
He was on the Progressive guest line. Yeah, I go back a couple of years ago. I had OKC, huge numbers. Their win total was 40, and they were the one seed. I was a year too early. They got bounced by Dallas. I never bet them the next year, and they won the whole thing.
You should have won that series, though.
I know.
P.J. Washington went into your pocket. I'm going to go. I like Collins over, don't you now?
Well, you have to.
25 yards now, yeah.
So keep in mind, again, how difficult it's been to run on a healthy Patriots front. There is a path for Kenneth Walker to be limited in rushing yards. If so, some big numbers would pay off. I'll explain why coming up next.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
So we're going to get analysis from both sides today on Kenneth Walker. Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchian, last half an hour, gave out Kenneth Walker with great analysis as to why he should go under 74.5 rushing yards. Coming up top of the hour, somebody's going to make a case for Kenneth Walker to win the MVP of the game. Now, here's the thing. Like, because the Patriots front has been so elite with a healthy Milton Williams, and nobody's been able to run the football on them, I'm actually looking for, like, alternate rushing yards to go under on Walker. If you find them out there, I would love it. Like a screen grab or something. Tell us which book on X at VSiN Live at Mitch Moss Radio at Paulie Howard. Like, if some books would offer, like, over 40.5, under 40.5. I want to know what that number is. Here's what the Westgate does. You can bet in 10-yard increments where he's going to land, which is too difficult. But if you bet every single one of these below, like, 50, here's the example. He's 60-1 to have 0 to 10 yards. He's 40-1 to have 11 to 20 yards. 25-1 to have 21 to 30 yards. 18-1, 31 to 40 yards. And 16-1 to have 41 to 50 yards. Obviously, if you bet all five of those, you can only win one. And you're not going to get the price that you betted at because you have the four other bets. But in theory, you'd still have a pretty nice payday. And I think there's an angle here where he's held below 50 yards. I'd rather have just like under 50 yards, like plus $3 or whatever the number is. But I think that that pathway exists, does it not? You can't argue with what the team has been like when they're healthy on that side of the ball.
Mm-hmm. The charge breakdown and how nasty the run defense has been throughout the playoffs.
Yep.
And the Williams angle is something. And 75.5 seems high. And if you how low you want to go. And this is juicy stuff. Okay, now other people could come in and say, I think he's going to go over in a big game. But as I also made the case earlier, we're at Caesars, 5 yards each quarter, though. He's going to have plenty of touches and carries. And unlike McVay, I think they will stick with the run, and they will give him plenty of opportunities and put Sam in third and manageable.
I think you're right. Run down some of these other ones that you found that are creative.
Yeah. So they did a great job, but I'm combining everything with what I've seen so far. You can email us, ftm@vsin.com, or tweet at us as well for what you like, best props, or also creativity. Last play of the first half, quarterback rush plus 180. Last play of the game, quarterback rush minus 190.
Always interesting to think of it like that.
You get the kneel down, okay. Quarterback to have a reception. Plus 750. Sam's 14-1. Passing touchdown, non-quarterback, 12-1. Successful onside kick, 22-1. Bears pulled it off in the playoffs. Scorigami, 22-1. Possible candidates, 29-11, 25-17, 32-22, 32-15, 20-11, 27-8, 25-8. I could see 27-8. A late New England touchdown, they go for two, something like that. Well, we have the exact score like we did in the last meeting between these teams at the half, 14-14, 90-1. Shortest touchdown drive, 59.5 seconds. I like the over there.
It would have to be...
got to take over after a turnover or a...
No doubt, long return,
punt return
teams.
Or something. Yeah, yeah. Upright or crossbar, plus 450. Block punt, which Jeff said is new, 12-1. Block field goal, which is new, plus 750. Darnold to have 30 yards rushing, 10-1. Seattle converts a fourth down in their own territory, plus 375.
I don't see them going for it.
Would you rather have New England plus 330?
Yeah, that's the only team I would bet on
fair,
there.
Fair. Both teams attempt a two-point try, plus 550. Both teams convert 11-1. And then you also have one attempt, successful, all that. 1 2-point is 3-1. That's not bad. That's pretty good.
Let me give you some numbers I'm seeing here. How about this? Rashid Shaheed, most rushing yards is as high as 750-1. Could this be like the Turpin game for the Cowboys? One carry takes it 73 yards, and that's it. He's the winner in the clubhouse.
Oh, that one's interesting.
750-1? You make anything 750-1, I consider it. Yeah. Unless it's Bill Belichick, not to make the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
How about
Chiefs? You cannot. You're already on record. You can't see Sam taking off at all. He's 10-1 to have 30 yards.
No, not, I mean, not that much. I mean, could I have him? Okay. Could he get 5 yards? Sure. 30? I don't think so. Shaheed, most rushing and receiving yards combined is 50-1. That's not bad. After Chargers breakdown and the rushing yards prop?
Have you looked at the Triple Crown?
I have a little bit.
Anything stick out?
I haven't.
And to get a deeper dive?
I did not a deep dive into it, no.
All right, yep.
And now this is a good one, too.
It's going to be a monster if you fade at JSN. JSN's minus 180 of the most receiving
yards.
That's right. So.
This is, which book is this? I think this is William Hill, Caesars. So first position to score a touchdown. They they have offensive line listed at 175-1. Now, but this is a good thought from Bill. If an offensive lineman reports eligible and lines up on the end of the line, he's not an offensive lineman for that play is what he's asking. Usually the fat man props are about 30-40-1.
Right, they are.
So I think if this guy comes in, reports eligible, he's not officially listed as an offensive lineman. And if you bet that and that's how it would score, you would not win 175-1 on that bet. I think that's how it breaks down.
Two bets, I think you can't bet. Three bets. Darnold MVP. Octopus. Octopus 15-1. It's hit only three times this year.
Why not Darnold MVP?
Plus 120? That's outrageous.
Don't you think that with the narrative of him getting traded a bunch of times, teams gave up on him just like the Vikings did last year, they'd be begging to give it to him?
I think it's a low-scoring game, so there's too many candidates out there.
I'm not going to bet Darnold. I'm just saying, like, the case is there. I mean,
but I question how big of numbers he's going to put up as well against a good New England defense. And the other one is at FanDuel. Will there be a touchdown scored on fourth down? It's only 3-1. I'd lay the no $4. Because that's hard to pull off. And again, you'd have to be inside the 5, inside the 10, because McDonald loves to kick fourth and one. I can't believe how conservative this guy is.
Oh, very much so.
He's an excellent coach, but man, is he conservative. I mean, he's like Harbaugh. He'll try a 50-yarder fourth and one.
Somebody tweeted us earlier today, they have not gone for it on fourth down yet in the playoffs.
Really?
Well, they would not. There's no reason to go for it, I think, against the 49ers. Total blowout. And last week, I get the person said it on Twitter earlier today. I'll take it for his word.
That's fine, yeah. Yeah.
If you could see which team, how about this?
I thought he did in the Week 18 game. I could be wrong, though. Go ahead. Sorry.
Which team would be the first one to fall into the Sean Payton situation from last week and then get ridiculed for it? Fourth and short, deep inside the opposing team's territory, and you don't, quote, take the points. They go for it, fail. Well, it doesn't matter. The outcome doesn't matter. Which team do you think would punt on the idea of kicking a field goal? Sorry, I screwed up my words there, but you know what I'm saying. They don't take the field goal, they don't attempt it, and they go for it instead. I think Vrabel as the underdog could do that. I think McDonald early in the game would take the points, in theory. He knows what he has with Myers.
Okay. How about Kubiak or McDaniels to lose their mind and try trickeration and it backfires in spectacular fashion?
I hope it's not Kubiak with the head coaching job on the line.
Uh-huh. Do we know what the Raiders' plan B is here? What if he doesn't take the job?
Kurt Cignetti?
Are you serious?
I don't know what it would be. Might have to have the conversation with the guy if
I hope they have a handshake agreement.
I would say that would be McDaniels because he's not going to get another head coaching job.
We've seen Razzle Dazzle, too. We remember the Amendola to Brady and some of the two-point plays were awesome in the comeback.
Oh, sure. And McDaniels was there for a lot of it.
Right. I'm just thinking of the if it blows up, but I certainly think that's why you can see trick plays and New England can go deep in the bag. I mean, he had the flea flicker against Hollins. Beautiful play. Yeah. Well done.
Are you going to watch the halftime show?
You have to.
I watch it every year.
Just to see what transpires.
Yeah.
Every
year I think it's good for the most part, but
yeah.
I don't know.
June? What did I text you? We're getting close, folks. First time ever, three nations are going to host. June 11th to July 19th, I believe. World Cup. Let's go. 9 matches at Jerry's World. A Mama's Pizza down the street. Everyone eats. How about the package here at Circa. Two-night stay, VIP cabana, games at Stadium Swim, $500 in credit, $250 in food and beverage, limo picks you up, cocktails at Legacy. Enter now, World Cup, Circa Resort and Casino, CircaLasVegas.com. Enter now, tell your friends, what a package, CircaLasVegas.com.
Professional sports bettor Paul Bovey joins us in studio coming up next. He has a ton of props that he likes for the big game. He'll run them down for you with analysis coming up next here on VSiN.